eyes, O Lord, save me, my God, deliver.
Welcome to The Firmly Planted Tree, a podcast dedicated to the reading of the Psalms for strength in our daily walk and to delight in the law of the Lord. I'm Joey Hawkins, and like the tree planted by the waters, may God's word establish you in righteousness.
The Lord alone deliverance sends, no other source of help have we.
Psalm 20, to the choir master, a psalm of David. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. May he send you help from the sanctuary and give you support from Zion. May he remember all your offerings and regard with favor your burnt sacrifices. May he grant you your heart's desire and fulfill all your plans. May we shout for joy over your salvation and in the name of our God set up our banners. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions. Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He will answer him from his holy heaven with the saving might of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. They collapse and fall, but we rise and stand upright. O Lord, save the king. May he answer us when we call. Psalm 20 is a psalm of really the king and his people. And I suppose I'm maybe getting a little bit nostalgic at this point, but Psalm 20 was actually the very first test podcast I recorded. And I was looking back at it, I still have it in my files, and I went about 13 minutes long on that particular podcast and had way too many quotes and trying to figure out my format. And so hopefully it's honestly been a goal of mine to remain under 10 minutes. So I better stop just talking about it and get to talking about the psalm. Again, this is a psalm about the king and his people. It's really broken down into a structure of sorts that has an addressing of the people and a prayer that you would say with the may the Lord, may the name of the God of Jacob, may he send you help, may he remember all your offerings, may he grant you your heart's desires, may we shout for joy, may the Lord fulfill all your petitions. Then it shifts in verse 6 to this first person, I know that the Lord saves his anointed. And then in verse 7 through 9, again, it turns to that first person plural. So the some trust in chariot and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. And so you see this transition that's happening in the psalm where you are moving from different voices of different speakers. And so you have the people saying almost a benediction or a prayer, a declaration of confidence in what Yahweh will do over the king as it begins. And then you have the king addressing the people saying, I know the Lord answers and I know the Lord saves. And then ultimately a charge again and ultimately in verse 9 closing with an appeal to God to save the king. And so if you try to imagine, if you will, what the context of this prayer would be, I think it's interesting because Spurgeon spends a great deal of time on this, and I like his description when he says, we have before us a national anthem fitted to be sung at the outbreak of war when the monarch was girding on his sword for the fight. If David had not been vexed with wars, we might never have been favored with such psalms as this. There is a needs be for the trials of one saint that he may yield consolation to the other or to the others. I love that picture that you have that the king is strapping on his sword, that David is prepared to go to battle. The people are speaking a blessing over him as he is prepared, and he is affirming that again his trust is in God, is in the Lord. And so you have that psalm then that moves from these voices. And as Golden Gay says, king blesses people bless king, people bless king blesses people. And in all of this, it is a blessing that is recognized to come from God himself. This is really about the relationship then that you see between leaders and between their people. I find it interesting. I'm in my sermon series preaching through the book of 1 Peter, and this coming Sunday I'll be in 1 Peter chapter 5. And 1 Peter chapter 5 speaks to this same type of relationship when it says, I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed, shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight. Then he speaks also, likewise, in chapter 5, verse 5, likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourself, all of you, with humility towards one another. And so Peter is speaking to the relationship we have between those who lead us in the church and those who are under them, and that all of us should come with humility. And that, again, is the picture of Psalm 20. That here is the king in the midst of national trial and war with the people calling on the king to look to God for help. The king affirming this desire, that he knows that God is the one who will act in saving his anointed one, his king, his leader, and that he will answer from heaven. And then the people ultimately reaffirming trust in God and finally appealing to God for his aid. And so I think for us, it's good in application to realize that this is the relationship we should desire to have with our leaders. Certainly our leaders within the church, first and foremost, but you can broadly apply that as well. That we would like to look towards a leader who will act, who is ready to go to battle, who is making plans, who has desires of the heart, again, not selfish, but desires that God would give and direct, that there would be plans and things that are in motion, and that the people would then trust their leader, and ultimately everyone would be looking to trust in God. But there's a certain degree of the action that you feel in Psalm 20. As Spurgeon said, his sword may have been hacked, but it was never rusted. Speaking of David. That yes, there may have been blunted to the edge. It might not have been in pristine condition, but it didn't rust in the sheath. It was ready to go to war. You know, I think for ourselves, there may be a day of failure or there may be a day of victory or sometimes, as it often is, both in the same setting. But I would rather have a day of failure over a day when I failed to act. That when I'm called to lead, when you are called to lead, or when you're called even to follow your leaders, that it would be because we are that we are moving, that we are taking initiative in following what God would call us to do. And really that contrasts the loud and oftentimes showy strength we see around us in the world with just simply the quiet confidence and trust in God. But quiet confidence is not quiet sitting on your laurels. It's still moving. It's still acting. And so with this, may we all eventually turn to the Lord and answer, receive an answer from him. And again, if you are listening to this and you are not a Christian, which, you know, I have friends who are not, and I appreciate those who do listen, that know that this is the desire that God has for his church and for his leaders, that we would look to people who are acting righteously, who are moving in ways that God honors and that God desires them to move in, and then that we would be able to follow and respect our leaders. So I hope, again, this psalm has been an encouragement to you as it's been an encouragement to me. And I pray that you have a blessed week, and may you prosper like the tree planted by streams of water. Thank you for listening. Find us online under The Firmly Planted Tree, where we can further continue our discussion. And please consider sharing this podcast and leaving a review. And may the word of Christ dwell in you richly. A joyful noise to make. Oh, come with thanks, his presence too. With joyful song.